Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate that you listen to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and also leave us some feedback. Rate us. Give us a review. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Actor, comedian in studio. He's at Helium Comedy Club tonight.
And tomorrow night.
Two shows
7:30
each night.
7:30 and 10 both nights, there baby. Dude, I'll take over. It's the Adam Ray Show here on 102.9 The Game. In studio, we got John. It's his first day on air. John, you just told me you're doing Pilates. Is that right?
That's right.
That's nice, dude. And is it a fun workout for you?
It is not fun. It is 80-year-old women who are wiry.
Yikes.
And built. And arms are shaking.
There's something eerily intimidating about an 80-year-old woman in Pilates.
Yes.
An 80-year-old woman just out of the house is already impressive. You know, like if I'm ever at a sporting event, last time I went to a Blazers game and they cut to, it might have been Kiss Cam or Dance Cam, one of the fun cams, and they cut to like a geriatric couple and everyone started clapping right away because they were like, oh my, how did you get outside? You know? So it really is impressive when you see them working out and pumping iron.
Have you done Pilates?
I've done it a couple times.
It's hard.
It's you find this too as you get a little older, and you know I'm 22, and it's okay. If you're gonna laugh, maybe this isn't the show for me. But feel like I'm pretty spry still, and like hooping a lot. But there is some times when I'm at a 24-hour fitness. I don't know if you guys are sponsored by Curves. Can you say 24 hour,
man? That's
And you play in a pickup game and you're like, oh, I'm out of breath like 8 minutes in. Like maybe I wasn't going to go pro. You know what I'm saying? But you need Pilates to just get the heart rate going.
It's
a different workout too, right?
Yeah. You use muscles you never knew you had.
Like what muscle?
Like my elbow muscle, whatever that
yikes,
is. Like,
dude.
No, but I just come out of there and I'm like, oh, I was in such bad shape because I'm literally shaking trying to plank. And I look over and there's the 80-year-old woman and she's looking at me
phased.
Like Rocky III.
She's staring you down like she's about to $1 you on the prices, right?
That's right.
Yeah. That is that's awesome. But, you know, it's also, you want to be around that because it inspires you, right?
Yes.
You're like, I don't want to be her age.
No.
And still be shaken, you know?
There you go.
And if I am shaken, I hope it's just from natural causes, you know?
Adam Ray is in studio, comedian, actor. Which comes first, actor, comedian? You're in a movie right now,
great
right?
Great question, yeah.
J-Lo
second
movie?
Act with J-Lo, yeah, baby.
Yeah.
All my scenes with her. And, you know, she is, I know your next question, like, what does she smell like? And pecan pie, dude. Pecan pie.
What's it like to work with? She's like, is that next level? Like, what's a big time actor, actress? Is she on that level? Like,
I think so. Well, yeah. J-Lo is like one of those. I mean, look, being in the heat with Sandra Bullock and Melissa McCarthy at that time, probably like, I don't think it gets bigger than Bullock as far as like grossing movie stars that are, you know, of that caliber and that are still crushing it. I mean, even like her coming out with Bird Box, like on Netflix, it's like, I've never seen more social media buzz about a Netflix movie before. But J-Lo, it's like you got everything from music to acting. I guess just music and acting. But she's like a mogul, you know, and just like does so much. And you look at somebody's like resume and she's had like, what, I don't know, 10 movies that have all grossed over like a couple hundred mil. Like,
does she have like an entourage with her?
She's actually got the cast of Entourage with her. And so I'm trying to do my scene. I can hear in the back being like, yo, Jennifer, let's go. I got an audition. That's my Johnny Drama impression.
Yeah.
You don't, do you have a TV, John?
Do
you
I
know
do have
what
a TV.
The internet
see
is?
It right there,
okay,
man.
Great.
It's not on.
Oh, nice. It's not on, dude. By the way, that's the first time in the history of anything that a guy's bragged about his TV that doesn't even work. Yeah, I got a TV, bro. Yeah, I'll get cable when I feel like it, man. What do you watch? What's your show?
I feel like it's disrespectful to have that on.
What would you have on, though? Let's get to know you for a second.
I would go probably on
Dr. Pimple Popper.
Or,
do you know what Dr. Pimple Popper is?
I have seen those.
Oh, dude, it's addicting. It's like you think doing Pilates with grandmama is a turn on. Watch Dr. Pimple Popper. It's disgusting, dude. But you can't.
Who got you into that? Did somebody tip you off to that? Because it feels like somebody has to tell you about it for the first time. And then
I got submitted for the show because I have a bunion on the back of my cyst. No, there's a there's this guy that goes in the, I think it's episode two, and he's got this just, like, it looks like another head on his head.
Yeah.
And he's in this, you know, confessional interview to set up the show, and he's just like, you know, this thing's just been, you know, it's been in, getting in the way of a lot of things in my life. And then he starts to break down, and you're like, oh, my God, I want this guy to get that pimple pop
start
so bad. You
him.
Start chanting for him in the comfort of your home. You're like, pop, that's it. Pop, you know, change your life, you know. And he goes in, and then they start carving like it's a Thanksgiving dinner. And you're like, that is disgusting, but I can't turn away, you know. Yeah. Same thing with, like, Botched. You know, you ever seen Botched on E?
Yeah.
Where it's just, I'm fascinated, by the way, by women that are just like, I'm tired of looking like a person, you know. we got enough people running around. Yeah. They get so many surgeries on their on everything, and they think it's the upgrade they need. But, you know, I hope I get to that point where I have enough cash where I'm just like, I'm going to put, you know, butt cheeks on my eyelids or something, where, you know, some unnecessary change. That you're like,
yeah. Well, I'm watching the Ray Liotta smoking commercial.
Chantix.
Have you seen that thing?
He's convincing, dude. It makes me want to smoke just to quit.
His face doesn't move. His face doesn't move.
Doesn't have to. He's Ray Liotta.
Yeah, it's like,
dude, enough. You're so greedy with your Ray Liotta emotions. Show me your feel.
I watch Ray Donovan on, what is that, on Netflix? No, Showtime.
Nice.
Showtime.
Is it a good show?
Yeah, you haven't seen that?
No, dude. All I need is Liv Schreiber narrating my NFL films documentaries, and that's it. He does that. Do you know that?
No.
Yeah.
That's good.
Liv Schreiber.
You got a Seahawks hat on. Yeah. This is radio, so I'm going to tell people. You like the Seahawks?
I love them, dude.
You're from you born in Seattle?
Born and raised in Lake Forest Park, Washington.
Wow.
Yeah.
The so Northwest.
Everything, I bleed M's, you know. Dude, I mean, let me just, you know, Sonics. The Storm are okay. You know, it's cool that they've held down the fort and the court, but... you know, it's different. People try to console me right out of the gate when we lost the Sonics. They were like, at least you still got the Storm. I'm like, not the same thing, dude. You can't console me by reminding me about something that exists that I'm not into.
Yeah.
Like, it's like if my car got towed, you're like, dude, sucks your car got towed, but at least Trader Joe's still sells vegan meatloaf. It's like, who cares, man? I don't eat that, you know? But the M's were my first love and the Sonics. Got into the Seahawks as I got older. I remember I once chased Wade Boggs at a Mariners game onto the team bus to get an autographed ball. My mom was kind enough to let me stay after the games, wait for the players to walk out. I saw, like, Randy Johnson just, like, yell at a bunch of kids once. I will stand by this. Randy Johnson was a hero of mine. Dude, kind of a, I don't know what you're able to say on this show, but, you know, the he is what you think he is. Like, that mullet and that, like, mean... Also, you're coming out of a game, but, like...
Yeah, but...
Come on, man, you got kids being
got
like,
kids.
Randy, you're the best. Nothing... No part of me would ever think that my first reaction would be, get away from me.
Yeah.
Like... But, you know, unless like, from the end of the game to that moment, something happened, you know, like, maybe he found out Ray Liotta got fired from Chantix, you know,
then there's reason to be upset. Yell at a bunch of kids because you had a bad day.
So bummed out about that. But I chased Boggs onto the bus.
Was he nice?
Yeah, dude, he cracked a beer while he was signing my ball on the bus. And I ran on the bus because I was like, I remember my mom was just like, you know, just go live a new life with Wade Boggs, you know, as I'm running away from her onto the bus. And I get on there, and he's like, come with me to the seat, you know? And I was like, all right, this guy with the mustache is telling me to come sit next to him. There better be candy, you know? And I sit down next to him, and he signs the ball and cracked the beer, and he was like, all right, man, you know, enjoy your life.
That's awesome.
I was like, enjoy your life, Wade Boggs.
That's awesome.
You have a drinking problem. He's like, what? I'm like, nothing. See ya. Go
Mariners. Growing up, like, Seattle's wasn't a huge sports town. Like, the Northwest gets a rap that we don't
now
have great,
it is, for, obviously, like, getting a hockey team, the soccer team is huge. Our badminton squad is, it came in last again this year, but that's just because, all right, that joke didn't hit. But so, the Seahawks have really turned things around for us. The Sonics obviously won a championship in the 70s, but that 95 season for the M's that saved baseball probably really showed the city that we have, like, a fan base that is, like, when there's a squad that delivers, like, people are going to show up, you know? And baseball, obviously, like, you know, one of the biggest housing sports, I think it was 65,000 plus in the kingdom. And then the Sonics in the 90s, man, ripped it up. And I lived through that time when we were up and down, and then, you know, you draft Durant, and you're like, oh, dude, here we go. Like, times are changing, and then...
I'm going to play something for you because only you will appreciate it.
A Dave Niehaus call?
Yeah.
Or is it?
And John Wetland one more time. Here comes the 2-2 pitch to Edgar Martinez down. A fastball swung on and hit the deep center field. Bernie Williams goes back and it is. Get out the rye bread and the mustard this time, Grandma. It is a grand salami. And the Mariners lead it 10-6. I don't believe it.
does that take you?
Dude, I mean, it almost makes me want to cry, dude. That was, I remember that whole series. I went to game three of that series, and then game five, I remember running out of my house into my, like, neighborhood, and, like, everybody ran out of their houses and was running around the neighborhood, like, hugging each other and going crazy. And it was, again, it was that time when you're like, oh, this city is crazy about their teams if they show up. Niehaus was the best too. How do you not think that's one of the greatest announcers to ever live?
Yeah,
right.
I doesn't even
stumble as he's like calling what's happening, and then has like amazing words and paints every picture. What were you gonna say
with Edgar too? I mean, I think Edgar's gonna get in the Hall of Fame. I think this is his year.
Let's hope so, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, if they put, you know, they're really just hitting everybody else before Edgar. They're like, you know, is
Harold Baines? Come on,
Harold Baines, give me a break, dude. Harold, you know, soon they're just going to be like, did Glenn Close ever play baseball? Can she make it in? It's like, dude, how about Tom Selleck from Mr. Baseball? That was a good movie. Can we put in the movie in the Hall of Fame? You're like, dude, just, there's a, the DH award is named after Edgar. How do you not put the guy, I don't know.
I have a ballot. I voted for him.
Good.
So,
you did? Oh, good.
So I'm all right with you.
I wonder if they're judging his Home Depot, or no, his, were they Lowe's commercials? The Mariners did a string of Lowe's commercials. Like, Jay Buhner was like, hey, it's Jay Buhner.
Yeah,
and don't judge my Buhner, all right? Which is the name of his one act play that he's putting on at the Aladdin next month. Don't judge my Buhner. And it's a picture of him holding a bat between his legs. But Jay, he's not the actor that Edgar was, but I say that also saying that Edgar was a terrible actor.
Yeah.
So maybe that's what Edgar literally was holding a lamp with a bat, like it was a lamp on a bat, and then the commercial happens, shows him talking to customers, and then it ends with Edgar just going, "Is a light bat?" And I was like, dude, that's going to cost you the Hall of Fame.
That you know, and he just needs to be quiet, let his numbers do the talking.
I know, dude. What do you think about, do people down here root for the M's? Because you got no...
Yeah, you do, but we're trying to get a baseball team. They're talking about building a ballpark. Would that be a good rivalry, Portland-Seattle?
Oh, baseball? Yeah, dude. Are you kidding me? The Sonics-Blazers rivalry was always awesome.
Yeah.
Kevin Duckworth and Sabonis versus Kemp. I mean, you know... Any sort of Sabonis. Yeah.
When Kemp came here, he was just doing drugs and having babies. He wasn't playing.
That was such
great
a bummer, dude.
Yeah.
I really thought that like his time with the Blazers was going to be like, I was like, you're close to Seattle, man. Like maybe you got some, your dietitians nearby or something, like maybe your crack dealer's like out of the country or, but that was just, it was toxic for him, right?
Yeah. Didn't work out. Yeah. How much, we got about a minute left. Tell me.
Dang, dude.
What does Seattle think of Portland for real? Like, be real. Come on.
Wow, dude. It's getting all Dr. Phil on me.
What's it feel like to be, baby brother to Portland? What does Seattle feel that way?
Baby brother to Portland?
Well, you're like our little brother up there.
No, dude. You're like our, our niece that we buy Barbies from 7-Eleven for. No, I think there's a great, I think we're becoming more and more on board with each other. You know, people do ask me like, what's better? And I'm like, cause you know, they're like the Northwest. They clump us together as the Northwest, but then they want to find reasons to separate us. But look, I think your coffee's better. I think your hippies are better. I think your pot is more accessible. Your bums are definitely crazier. I had a guy come up to me outside of a gas station. He was like, yo, man, I got some money to try to, you know, the stories for the for wanting change are always better, which I helps for the exchange for me. And he was like, I'm trying to get to my son's softball game in Eugene. And I was like, it's 1 a.m, man. He's like, it's a night game. I was like, all right. So, like, they're friendlier. I'd give you that. But and you have a basketball team. That's always, to me, that holds court right now.
Adam Ray, Helium Comedy Club, 2 shows tonight and 2 shows tomorrow night. Go to heliumcomedy.com. Thank you, Adam.
Thanks, player.
Leave it right here. You got the bald face truths. U.S. Senator Ron Wyden coming up.
John Canzano. Raw. Sourced. Fresh. From the PacWest Center in downtown Portland, built by High Caliber Millwrights. This is the bald faced truth.
I just had to kick Adam Ray out of the studio. He stuck around because he wanted to talk sports. He wanted to talk about the Seahawks winning. Can the Seahawks win this game? What's it going to take for the Seahawks to beat the Dallas Cowboys? And he's making a case. I told him I think the Seahawks will beat the Cowboys, and I think they'll advance. And he says, you know, their path to the Super Bowl isn't that hard. And he started to sound like a sports fan. who's talking crazy. I said, you need to leave now when he said that. Seahawks going to the Super Bowl? You tell me in the NFL games. I want to throw this out to the listeners. We have four NFL games. We haven't done a ton of NFL talk today, but we have four NFL games on the schedule for this weekend. Playoff games are here. You've got the Cowboys and Seahawks in Dallas. You've got the Bears and the Eagles in Chicago. You have the Ravens, who are playing the Chargers in Baltimore. And, of course, you've got the Texans hosting the Colts. Which of those four games do you think is the easiest game to pick? Just pick a winner. 503-417-7575. If we're calling this a elimination pool where you can't be wrong, you have to pick a winner. And we could do this for every week of the playoffs. If you're playing that elimination dead pool or whatever you want to call it, and you have to pick a winner or you're out of the pool, which of those four games do you pick? 503-417-7575 is the number. I'll do the two at two, and then we'll talk about that. The two most important things in sports now.
The two at two.
Well, you saw the news in Tampa, or maybe you didn't. You're just hearing about it. The Tampa Bay Rays, their stadium is being retracted. That's right. They're going to wallpaper off the top deck. Is that what they call it? Tarp it. They're going to tarp the top deck. Nobody will be sitting in the top deck at Tropicana Field this next baseball season. That will take the attendance, maximum attendance capacity at Tropicana Field down to 25,000. They will average fewer fans than anybody in Major League Baseball. Why? Because their capacity is 10,000 seats less than anyone when it's sitting at 25,000. Look, if you're the Major League Baseball to Portland kind of person, you have to be paying attention to this kind of stuff, because Tropicana Field being in trouble, the Rays tarping off the top section of the stadium and calling that a renovation, by the way, that's just the beginning of the end of the end for the Rays in Tampa. Now, it's true, the Rays could be headed to Montreal, not Portland, but I still think having that situation settled is what's good for Major League Baseball to Portland effort. So keep an eye on that and know that you've got the Rays situation moving towards a conclusion in Tampa. It looks like they're not going to be staying there. My second thing in my 2 at 2 revolves around Bol Bol. Dana Altman, Ducks coach, came out today at the end of practice and said that Bol's camp is the reason why Oregon didn't go public, saying that he's out for the year. Apparently, Bol has been rehabbing that fracture in his left foot, and he had a surgery on it yesterday. And Bol's camp, his camp of trainers, lawyer, doctors, has told the University of Oregon that they didn't want Oregon to say anything about Bol's status. It put Oregon in an uncomfortable position. Clearly, you're not driving the bus when you have a one-and-done type player in your program. But I think it's a little alarming to me that Bol has a camp at all. If you have a camp, you as a freshman, as a college freshman player, then maybe your commitment isn't to winning basketball games at your university, and your commitment is rather to yourself. Does that come with the one-and-done player? Is that something that walks hand in hand with a player who potentially isn't going to stay in college for more than one basketball season? Probably. It gives me pause, though. And I'm not here saying that Dana Altman shouldn't take the best possible players that he can get in recruiting. I just think he should take the best possible players that he knows he can coach. And a guy who's going to be in your program for one season, to me, isn't worth the trouble. That's my 2 at 2. I want to talk NFL now. Give me your surefire, can't miss, five-star, if I'm going to pick only one NFL game this weekend, what are you going to pick? You have four NFL games. I already think that the Seahawks are going to beat the Cowboys. I think the Bears are going to beat the Eagles. I think the Chargers are going to beat the Ravens. And I'm picking the Texans over the Colts. For me, I feel better about the NFC games. I like both the Seahawks over the Cowboys and the Bears over the Eagles better than I like the two AFC games. But you tell me, which game is your surefire can't miss? If I was in a pool and had to pick a winning team pick, who would you pick? 503-417-7575. You get the floor. Bobby, who are you picking? Gun to your head.
Chicago. Over the Philly.
You got to be right.
Yep, I know.
You're 6.5-point favorite.
I'm picking Chicago. I don't think Foles isn't 100%, and you're playing, you know, you're going to Soldier Field. And I think that that defense, and as long as all you're doing is having their quarterback, Chicago's quarterback, Tulowitzki, all you want him to do is to manage the game. And they got a good running game.
How about Mark Helfrich getting himself
there? You go.
He's going to play deep in the playoffs with that team.
What a good decision he made.
They're going to take that job or to get himself fired. Let me see. If I can just get myself fired in Oregon, they'll buy me out. I can sit for a season and then join the Chicago Bears. That's a good plan for me. I don't think that was his plan.
No, I don't think it was.
I don't think anybody ever wished him poor. Like, nobody was sitting around going, hey, Mark Helfrich, we want you to fail. By the way, did you hear Bill Walton's idea? Bill Walton had maybe the worst idea ever. Okay? You know that they fired Steve Alford at UCLA, the basketball coach. Bill Walton has come out with an idea of who should replace Steve Alford.
Who do you think can succeed here? What type of characteristics should UCLA look for in the next coach?
Barack Obama.
Well, I don't think he's going to coach. So.
Well, you keep saying that, but why? Why are you so negative? Why do you just turn down?
Give me some names.
His brother-in-law coach.
Craig Robbins.
I'm sticking with Barack Obama until he says no.
Well, Bill Walton, we'll wait for former President Obama to come out and give his wishes. Is that a bad idea?
Yes.
Because a guy could run the country, he could coach basketball. Because he plays a little basketball and his brother-in-law coached. That was his whole rationale. His brother-in-law coached. Does he know what his brother-in-law did?
Exactly.
We had a whole song that was made up for Craig Robinson. Did you hear that song?
No.
We had such hopes for Craig Robinson. We had this song.
And here's to you, Mr. Robinson. Beaver fans love you more than you will know. Whoa, whoa, whoa. God bless you, please, Mr. Robinson. Your basketball team can really play. Hey, hey, hey. Hey, hey, hey.
Didn't really work out.
No,
didn't go that way. And then, you know what we ended up doing? We ended up having to change because we were so high on him. Then this is when he got mad at us. I think we, no, that's the same song. He got mad at us. He got mad at me later. He got mad at me. You know why Craig Robinson got mad at me?
Why?
I went to see his team play, and I wrote a column, and this is probably sexist, but I can defend my position. I wrote a column that said that Oregon State under Craig Robinson, they're playing women's basketball. And I had a bunch of people get mad saying that was sexist, but I didn't mean it in a sexist way. I meant like, in a Princeton way, I go to a women's basketball game. You know what I see? I see women's players who are paying attention and listening to the coach. I see they're running a system. They're running an offense. They're not just spreading the floor and shooting threes. There's a lot of screening and cutting and backdoor and all this stuff. And it's below the rim, okay? Nobody's consistently dunking in a women's basketball game. So I wrote that under Craig Robinson, Oregon State's playing women's basketball. I should have just said international basketball, but I said women's basketball. Craig Robinson got pissed because he was trying to recruit players, and players don't want to play. Men's players don't want to play in a women's system. But I said to him, look, your guys listen to you. You're running an offense. You're playing below the rim. I said, it looks like if you just were watching through wax paper, you would say, oh, this is a women's basketball game that I'm at. He got mad. He didn't stick around very long.
Yeah, that's not a very good thing to say if you're trying to recruit, though.
I'm sure he has every right to be mad, but I'm just that's what I observed. And people are like, you have daughters. That's a sexist thing to say. And I'm like, but I'm talking about the style of play.
Yeah,
I wasn't saying it like this is a derogatory thing. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, you throw like a girl. That's not what I was saying. I was saying that the game is being played below the rim. I could see why he would take it bad, though. I don't care. Kevin's in Canby. Let's talk about the playoffs. Kevin, what's up?
That Bill Walton quote just cracked me up. I think that he had way too much fun in the 70s on Northwest 21st Street, sniffing patchouli and all that kind of crap. But anyway, I think the most intriguing game is going to be Sunday, the Chicago-Philly, when you've got the Long brothers playing against each other, and it happens to be on Howie's birthday. And I pick Chicago in that one.
You got Chicago? All right. You and Bobby are picking Chicago. I'm gonna take the Seahawks as my surefire can't-miss win. I think the Seahawks are going to win that game.
I do, too. You asked what the easiest one was.
Feel good.
Yeah.
But well, don't the Eagles scare you at all?
Not really. You know, Dallas scares me with the Seahawks because Dallas has a legit defense. And I don't, and you just don't know what Dak Prescott, which one is going to show up. And if Zeke can get some yardage, I think it's going to be a tough haul. If Seattle can keep it close in the fourth quarter, I definitely think the Seahawks can pull this off. But I'm telling you, Dallas is going to be tough.
Yeah, here's my worry about Philadelphia, though. It comes back to Nick Foles. I mean, I think they're a different team. They're a better team than they were, obviously, early in the season when they were struggling. They're dangerous.
He's not 100%, though.
Yeah, but they're dangerous. And I keep looking at Chicago, and I go, okay, they did it. They did it in the regular season, and Trubisky is, you know, played well, and the game's at home for Chicago. But something about the defending world champions coming in, they know how to win. They've been in big games before. Does this Chicago team know how to win? Like, did anybody expect them to be where they are?
Nope. So, but they sure are playing consistent football. Yeah, they are.
Like the defense.
I'm telling you, I think a lot of people would say the Chargers, but that Charger game, I'm picking Baltimore because, one, Phillip Rivers can't move worth a lick, and Baltimore's defense is tough. And I'm picking teams, you know, I'm not picking Dallas because Seahawks have got a good defense, not Dallas defense, but they got a good defense. And I think that the way they played against them 2 weeks ago, I think that Rivers is going to have some time in Baltimore. It's a tough place to play.
All right, you'll tweet at me. Tell me who's your pick, your surefire can't-miss five-star winner for the weekend. Up next, U.S. Senator Ron Wyden will be joining us.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.